I'm Phil Svitek, 360 Creative Coach, and welcome to my blog, where it's both my mission and my pleasure to highlight my creative journey, so that way I can inspire you, give you tangible takeaways, also that way yours is just a little bit easier. Now, before I fully get into things, allow me to invite you to subscribe if you haven't already done so, that way you get all the various lessons and episodes that I put out right when I put them out. Thank you if you just did, and thank you if you already were. It truly does mean a lot to me, as I hope it does to you. So, this past week, kind of an interesting week, for a number of reasons. The kind of overarching thing is that there wasn't anything immediate that I needed to do, really, in terms of the upcoming feature film that I'm making. You know, just a couple of minor things here and there to check in on, you know, but nothing major. And so that afforded me the ability to, you know, have some play, right? But also, there was some news that I received that one of my mentors in college, Pete Chivani, had passed away. And Pete Chivani started at Emerson College in the 80s, roughly, somewhere in there. And he coached Emerson soccer as well as worked in like the editing production labs and so forth. And when I got to Emerson College, he was no longer the soccer coach there, but he was still very much involved in terms of the soccer players and taking them under his wing. That's how I became involved. And not only that, you know, he was really large and in charge of the post-production facilities, which me specifically wanting to be an editor at the time, you know, was amazing and incredible. And so ever since my freshman year, I got introduced to Pete Chivani. And since that time, he really taught me a lot. He really advocated for me. In fact, it was because of him that I got to work on my first feature film as you know, eventually an editor slash producer. That was Adventures of Serial Buddies. I got connected because another one of his mentees, Maria Menounos, that was her film. And, you know, she was an Emerson alumni, obviously. And they put the word out to Emerson kids, you know, who might be interested in. And Pete came to me with this opportunity and I jumped at it. He connected us and kind of the rest is history, as they say. So Pete is someone that a lot of the lessons and ideas that I talk about, you know, he helped foster within me, right? He gave me that sort of worldview, if you will. And, you know, in typical Pete fashion, you know, one of the things his kids kind of, you know, they posted on Facebook, and that was how I found out. But, you know, and then we who knew each other kind of texted each other and so forth. But really, like, in terms of the post, you know, they kind of made mention that that Pete didn't want ultimately for people to mourn him and, you know, to not really, you know, if they wanted to honor his memory, it was to donate to Emerson College. He was really into botany. So, you know, just donating to causes like that, like just, he was always very, someone who was selfless, right? And he understood that, like the Stoics really, that, you know, death comes for us all, and to view that, that it's not, and to be frightened of it, you know, you're not ultimately really living then, are you? And so to that effect, Pete lived a very full life. I mean, I don't know exactly how old he was when he passed away, but, you know, he certainly wasn't a spring chicken in that sense. And for all the years that he was on this earth, he made, because I'm not the only one to have that sort of experience with him. And what I appreciate about it is when I look back on it, at least as I recall it and remember it, you know, Pete was someone who just inherently did the right thing, because the right thing is always the right thing to do, regardless, right? And yeah, sure, there was definitely times when that involved kind of telling me what I didn't want to hear. But that was needed, you know. In hindsight, I respect that. You know, he, as Kim Scott would say, like, he exemplified radical candor. Radical candor being both, like, he was very direct in terms of his criticisms or his notes and whatever else, but he deeply cared, and you can always tell that about him. You know, there wasn't a person, there wasn't a student that I'd met that didn't really think that Pete didn't care for them. Like, you know, whoever he took on, and he took on so many of us, right? He gave us his all. And like all things, you know, some people took him up on it, some people didn't, you know? That was their choice, ultimately. But I, whatever opportunity he threw my way, I would always take. And, you know, it's also interesting because in that sense, the wound is still fresh. There's not, you know, there's not going to be like a funeral in the traditional sense. Certainly not right now with COVID and things like that. But, you know, the idea that eventually, once it becomes safe to do so, we will have some sort of a gathering and really just remember and tell stories about Pete and things of that nature and in the Pete spirit. You know, keep his memory alive, really, right? Sharing those fun stories and the impact he had on us. And who know, you know, I'm sure that'll be an emotional time. Part of it is like, none of us know when that will be. You know, it could be 3 months from now, it could be 6 months from now, it could be a year from now, it could be a little bit longer, who knows? But it'll be worth the wait, and the stories that we'll share will be fun. Because even in our kind of soccer alumni Zoom chats that we've recently had, you know, it just, Pete is a constant through line because of his commitment to Emerson soccer. And not just like the love of it, but also, again, this his impact is just vast because he wanted to make Emerson a real broadcast school where, yes, we have the sports teams and things like that, but obviously we have an incredible like broadcast journalism section, and, you know, people wanted to do sports broadcasting. So the idea that, you know, the games would be filmed and commentated and so forth, like, that was always a vision of his. And now, you know, the fact that I can watch the Emerson soccer, you know, live on YouTube, like, we've made strides, you know, that's incredible. And that was all part of a vision that, you know, he worked so hard towards. So, yeah, his memory, his legacy will continue to live on through all of us. And yeah, it's sad that he's gone, but he lived a full life, a damn good life, and a very impactful life. And so I'm sure he didn't have regrets, you know, at least that's as I knew him, right? So thank you for kind of going down memory lane with me, and overall really just know that a lot of the stuff that I discuss, the core of it really speaks to Pete's teachings. So there's that. You know, speaking of kind of remembrance, obviously this past Saturday, September 11th, was the 20th anniversary of the attack on America, really, right? And I posted on Instagram kind of from my eighth grade yearbook. And so our schools were divided like 1 through 4. Then middle school was 5 through 8. And then, you know, you had high school, 9, you know, freshman to senior year. And so really we were like the seniors of middle school. And yeah, it was just kind of interesting, you know, in that sense, because you're kind of at the cusp of just becoming a teenager and so forth. And really kind of what that moment and looking back on it encompassed was this idea that now we are the adults. No longer are we those innocent, carefree kids. And, you know, now the responsibility lies with us. And some of the people that I went to high school with, you know, they're married, they have kids, and so forth. I don't think any of them are the age that we were They're younger, but all the same, the principle still applies of, you know, 20 years has gone by and now we are the adults and we have to kind of do the best we can in terms of what we're able to do. And so, you know, I'm not going to talk too much about 9/11. I think it's a very, you know, we all have our own reflections of it. And I hope, if anything, that you took the time to really sit with where you were at, or, you know, if you're younger and you weren't around when the actual event took place, just what it means today and how it's impacted all of our lives. You know, the fact that, like, just until very recently, you know, the war was actually still going on because of this incident. Like, it's a lot to think about. So, you know, moments like that deserve to be reflected upon and paused and so forth. No different than, you know, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, any of those holidays where we're supposed to look back on our history, you know, the good and the bad, right? It's not to just let anyone off the hook, you know? Like, what happened on 9/11 was very tragic, but certainly going to war and decisions of that and staying in the war, you know, there's nuance there, right? So a lot of stuff in terms of that. So yeah, if, you know, maybe, and if you didn't think about it, you know, I get it. You know, maybe it's triggering and you didn't want to, and you were kind of trying to avoid it. But as they say in all self-help, you know, avoiding something doesn't make it as they go away. So I think sometimes we just need to sit with certain emotions. So if you haven't yet really stopped and thought about the impact of 9/11 on your life, do so this week. You know, I encourage you. So yeah, now switching gears a little bit, because that was some heavy stuff and rightfully so. You know, film wise, one of the, you know, it was just a lot of random tasks, right? So for me, like I said, no immediate thing had to happen. We don't have another rehearsal until this coming week. So I didn't have to like plan for that. You know, the script is pretty solid. So, and I had finished the preliminary schedule. So it was more just kind of check-ins with everyone, right? Making sure people got the latest script. They knew kind of what any outstanding tasks of theirs were, things like that. And yeah, you know, one of the things that came out of it, the fun stuff for me is when an actor calls me and they're like, hey, you know, when I say this, what's really the subtext of it? So I had a couple of fun conversations like that, where, you know, I'm just fielding questions more than actually, you know, necessarily having something on my to-do list. You know, as I said, that will certainly change, but it was good to have like a mental break, overall. You know, it's like I said, I was not doing anything, but, still having those moments where you can kind of not have it constantly on your mind at the forefront, I think is healthy, because then allows me to go into this coming week where I do have to, have it more top of mind, and I do have more things on my agenda that I have to knock out and dictate and so forth. It gives me a fresher perspective going into those tasks. So I'm grateful for that, you know, and as much as you can in all things, try to the best of your ability to schedule it in that way, because I think it will yield the results. You know, a lot of people think if you're not constantly working on something that you're messing it up, and it's like, it's not always the case. You need that separation from time to time. So as far as, you know, just the fun stuff for me, and this is the great part about it, is having that space allows you to just play, because nothing specific has to get accomplished. So I had a chance to go to the Vincent van Gogh exhibit in Los Angeles. You know, it's an immersive experience, and you know, something that was on my mind and I'd been planning to go. But if for those keeping track of all these episodes, you know, if you've listened to the past several weeks ones, then you know, as I may mention, I was dealing with the movie stuff, all good things in that way. But then I also was taking care of my dog, and her health stuff, so it didn't leave necessarily a lot of room for play. And so this week, because I had the opportunity, things were I was like, I've been putting off going to the Vincent Van Gogh immersive experience, and so I was like, let's do it. And I tried to get a couple of my friends to go, and just either they weren't interested or timing wise didn't allow it. And you know, rather than be deterred and say, okay, well, if they're not going to go, I'm not going to go, whatever. Yeah, just the idea that, like, okay, screw it, I'm just going to go solo. You know, so I got my ticket, I went, and it was incredible. There's no way to really describe it in a way that's going to be meaningful and impactful. But overall, it's a very visual experience. It evokes your senses, right? Because there's audio, there's the visuals. And just even the ambiance of it all, right? Everyone that is there participating with you is also part of the experience, and they dictate the experience, right? It's a symbiotic relationship, you know, because how you interact with the rest of the people also dictates kind of the overall experience. And yeah, it was really, really great. So if you're in LA and you're on the fence about it, you know, my suggestion would be to go do it. And that's the, like, overall, getting out of your comfort zone helps as an artist, right? So I knew, as I said, I had the ability to not have specific deadlines this week. So the availability of time on to just either relax or go and do something like this. You know, I took full advantage of it. I both rested and did exciting things. And it just reinvigorates your soul, right? Not everything, like, just because I'm a filmmaker doesn't mean I should only watch movies or study film and so forth, right? I think we all need things from multiple places that ignite our soul. And in fact, doing new things unlocks something within us as artists, right? That's one of the beautiful things about it. And so that's why I love exhibits in general. I certainly have gotten to appreciate them more in the past few years. So it was exciting, right? And it gave me some new perspectives and breakthroughs and so forth. The other exciting thing was that that one of my friends, Lauren Camp, it's her birthday coming up, and you know, she posted, like, hey, would anybody want to do paintball? And you know, Lauren and I know each other, but we don't know each other like that well. So I was like, you know, I DM'd her and I was like, hey, if it's not an imposition, that sounds like a lot of fun. I would love to join. And she's like, yeah, no, of course. The more the merrier type of thing. And you know, she put it all together, and we went to the Hollywood Sports. That's what it's called. And that literally happened today, today being Sunday. And it was just a blast. You know, I'd never been paintballing before. And again, just kind of all the more reason, like, why not? You know, how many chances am I going to get to experience something like that? And so I went, and she's always someone who's just so good at organizing, in the sense, like, the group she manages to put together, like, you know, her friends are from all different kind of aspects of her life, and we all just kind of come together, and everyone meets each other and just ends up having a fun time. And yeah, we were there, we got quite a few games in and so forth, and it was just fun. Like I said, you know, just something new that I'd yet to do before. And I think a lot of times, like, it's that idea, if you can't, you must, Like, if something scares you or, you know, you're kind of on the fence about it, just go do it. You know, that's kind of more and more my mantra. Like, just go do it, you know, and see what it's all about, you know? And so I'm really glad I got a chance to do that. That was a lot of fun. So thank you, Lauren. Yeah, so that was that. The other kind of things that I've been checking with one of my friends who's editing his movie. You know, they wrapped towards the mid to late August, and now they're editing. And so, you know, him and I have been kind of going back and forth about stuff. And you know, a couple of tips that I gave him, just listening to him, I was like, listen, don't worry about color correcting your shots or editing sound that much. Like, as long as you can hear what people are saying, you know, just focus on editing the thing. You know, all that other stuff will come, I promise you. You know, and some people consider it the, you know, that even like a first pass, right? Like the assembly cut should, you know, be fairly tight and so forth. But for me, listen, if anything, I'd rather just assemble it and then, you know, tweak all the audio after that and so forth. You know, I like to work in phases. Because for me, the number one goal, especially of the assembly cut, is just to see what the film is, right? The script, as was written, you know, as was intended, let's see that version of it to the best that we can. And I like working at the speed of thought, right? Quickness for me. So, you know, spending an hour on every scene extra just to get some color correction and some sound a little bit better, which ultimately is going to change because it's going to go to color and it's going to go to sound. So the stuff that you're really doing doesn't necessarily have that much of an impact. Excuse me. And so it's like, you're focused on stuff that is going to get touched up anyway later. So focus on the stuff that actually matters right here, right now, which is the cuts, the edits, the story, right? And moving along and having the best performances and yada, yada, yada. So, and he was like, yeah, you're right, you know? And then it was awesome. We're kind of going back and forth. And one of the things that he was telling me was the idea that, like, props, like in terms of the filming experience, he really wished how much, like, having someone like just manage props. Because he was like, damn, you know, I thought we had so few props, but like really, it was always like, hey, where's this? Where's that? You know? And they were constantly kind of looking for the various items that they would need within a scene. And obviously they got what they needed to, right? But also B, that does suck. But one of the reasons we're talking about it was because now I have the benefit of that information, right? So I'm like, okay, well, the good news is I don't have as many props. You know, now with that in mind, I was like, yeah, yours actually does have quite a few props that it would require. I'm like, I usually tend to stay away from as, you know, props as much as possible. Although I do have very key specific props that kind of each character has. So it might be like, you know, I can't at the same time say that we don't have props. And so, you know, something to really keep in mind. But yeah, you know, just in that sense, and I benefit from his experience, no different than him going into his filming of it. You know, he would constantly before his shot, he would ask me about my experience with Love Market, which was my first feature film that I wrote and directed, which is available, by the way. Link is in the description if you want to go check that out. But yeah, you know, so, and that's the whole thing. Like, we all just uplift each other, right? That's the cool part about it. And one of the things that we were talking about just in general was, you know, ultimately, like, for the spirit of both of our movies, right? Two different types of movies, but in terms of our approach and things like that, having more money really wasn't going to make it better. You know, I can say that, you know, maybe I can not fully confidently say that for my friend's movie because it's his movie. You know, but for mine, I can say that with confidence because, like, for me, going into, we're going to be filming in Colombia. And, the idea is that there's spontaneity that's supposed to happen, right? And we're supposed to like capture it. It's almost like a scripted documentary, if you will, right? And in that sense, like there's just certain things that that if we had more money and there was like crew, it would make it too stiff and rigid in terms of everything. And the idea that like, you know, just we have to use our creativity more so than our finances, that excites me, you know, and what is and how do we approach it? That's really exciting stuff for me. So yeah, you know, and a lot of indie features, we'll talk about this, especially, you know, the ultra micro budget, you know, let's say like $100,000 or less. But especially once you get into like $50,000 or less, you know, you really embrace that aspect of it. And it's like this movie really couldn't have been made any other way. You know, I even think of like Christopher Nolan's Following. He made that, you know, over the course of 2 years on spare weekends, and he would literally work, save up money enough to buy like film canisters. And once they had, you know, film stock that they needed to film, they would get together for that weekend, film all the film stock that they had available to them, and then boom, you know, stop down. And, you know, for 2 years, they did it like this. And that's an incredible movie. You know, you could really see Nolan's talent within that movie. The movie's called Following. And yeah, it wouldn't have been made better with more money, really. And so that's the exciting part about all of this, you know? Because especially for mine, like I said, for mine, we're going into Colombia, and really, we're like vloggers, you know? We just want to go to various places, be minimal with our setups, with our cameras and so forth. Because we want to interact with the culture. You know, like if you watch Love Market, it's the same thing. We had a very small footprint, and that allowed everyone around us to just be themselves and so forth. And it just captures something quite unique that's just not there if it's forced. So, and that's kind of the interesting part about me budgeting my movies. I'll talk about this more so in a future episode. But the idea that, like, for me, you know, certainly you want to budget a movie differently than this, but my methodology really is like, okay, you know, just as cost comes up, okay, let's pay for it, right? I mean, certainly, like, me looking at the film that I'm making, before I even wrote a single word of the script, I look at, okay, you know, how much would a flight to Colombia cost per person? You know, how much would lodging be? And how much would food be? So then that gave me a rough estimate of, okay, what would just those factors into it, what would that cost? And it's like, okay, yeah, it's a couple $1,000s, but it's not insurmountable, especially for, you know, what you're getting in return. It's like an investing where it's a low risk, high reward, right? So I look at it like that, and, you know, so there's like not really ever an official budget. It's like, okay, you know, there's not a budget for costuming, but when it comes down to it, it's like, okay, if we need to buy something, then let's figure out the most cost-effective version of that, right? So my budgeting really is like, we spend on what we need, but let's avoid spending as much as possible, and only, you know, when absolutely necessary do we do it, right? So that's kind of how I approach budgeting. Again, I would not recommend it generally, but part of it is, part of the reason why I can do that is because I'm pretty much self-funding it. You know, we did the Indiegogo campaign, and that was great to, you know, we ended up getting like 2.6K, which definitely helped, you know, cover like plane costs, you know, but not, you know, certainly didn't cover all of them, but it took a big chunk out of that. But all the same, you know, apart from that, everything else is, you know, self-funded for me, in this sense. And so that's why, like, I can be a little cavalier about it, because it's all it's on, you know, it's no one else's money in that regard. And even though it is my money, like I said, I'm being as frugal, yet making sure that we have a movie that looks good and, you know, people aren't like sleeping in, you know, random places, you know, like we're gonna eat well. The accommodations we got are really nice. So yeah, that's kind of how I approach that. Anyway, that's kind of it. I know it's a sort of random episode of highs and lows and various things, but it's kind of what my past week's been up to. As always, feel free to ask questions. It could be about any of the stuff that I talked about. It could be about stuff that I didn't talk about, right? Would be happy to converse with you. Comment down below or hit me up on social media at @PhilSweetTech. Thank you, as always, for taking the time to tune in. I appreciate you. I hope to see you next time.